I would like us this morning to consider God in Psalm 51, verse 13, we read, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." As we continue our study in the penitent's prayer and come to verse 13 of the Psalm 51, we see that David's song suddenly strikes, as it were, a higher note. For two-thirds of the psalm, the first 12 verses, David has been looking into his own heart, and he has not been very pleased with what he has seen there. We have seen that something of the sinfulness and depravity of man's nature, and indeed the nature of David's own heart, as he wrote about his wickedness and his need for cleansing. With earnest tones and grave, he's written about being conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. He's written about the pit of sin into which he had fallen. And he's written about that cry, the cry for help from a merciful God. He has written about his need for cleansing, for washing, for purging, and for from the foulness of his sin. He has written about his need for a clean heart, and his need for a right spirit to be renewed within him. He has asked for the joy of salvation once again to fill his soul. It is at that point in the psalm that David suddenly turns from looking at himself and his sinfulness to looking out to those transgressors who were still in their sins and who were all around him, having, he believes, been restored to his first love, having, he believes, now his sin put away. David says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." He had been looking in at his own heart, and because of what he saw there, he was compelled to look up. And in looking up, he cried to heaven for forgiveness, the forgiveness that only God could give. From looking in to looking up, when forgiveness was received, he then began to look out. He looked out upon those transgressors, those who were still in their sin. He looked out, if you like, upon the fields that were white already to harvest. And he suddenly had a burden that he hadn't had for a long time. Oh, he had had a burden for over a year now, after he committed that sin with Bathsheba. He carried the burden of that sin in his heart. But now that burden had been removed. The Lord had told him he had been forgiven. His sins had been blotted out. But that burden now was replaced with another. David now had a burden for souls. He had a burden for those who needed to hear the word of salvation. The word that was brought to him, the word of deliverance that came to him, David now could see that others needed to hear that word too. There had been a peace in his own soul, peace he hadn't known for a long time, a peace that passes all understanding. And now he wanted others to know about that peace too. He had been cleansed. He now had a clean heart. He wanted others to have that same clean heart also. He had been cleansed from all sin. Now he wanted others to know that cleansing power also. And he's now ready to perform that duty. For he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And dear child of God, do we today not stand where David stood? Is there not that desire in our hearts, now that we have been cleansed, now that we experience that peace which passes all understanding, is there not that longing in our hearts that others would come to know the Savior that we know? I trust the Lord will stir our hearts, even today through His Word, to be like David and to go out and tell transgressors about the ways of God, knowing that sinners will be converted unto Christ. First thing that I notice here in these words of David is David's expression of willingness. You see, there's a willingness here with David that there hadn't been there for a long time. From the time he committed that sin with Bathsheba to the time that Nathan went and confronted him about his sin, there is no record of David going out and telling transgressors of the ways of God. He didn't have that willingness then. There was not a desire in his heart to tell others about the things of God. But that has all changed. And here he expresses that willingness. He says, I will teach transgressors thy ways. That's what I will do. Once the burden left him, he says, this is what I will do. I will teach transgressors thy ways. Here's his desire. While his heart and life were not right with God, there was no desire, neither was there any sign of willingness to tell others about God's salvation. While he struggled with his own burden of sin, he had no interest in others who carried the same burden of sin. But now that he has found pardon and peace and forgiveness, and the burden of his own heart has been lifted and taken away, he wants to tell others the good news. That's simply what it's about. For you see, this is such a natural thing. for the child of God to do. See it, Spurgeon, the great preacher, once said, when referring back to the day of his conversion, when he was saved as a lad of 16. Prior to that, Spurgeon had struggled with his sin and how he just longed to be rid of his burden. In fact, he said that if someone had have told him that if he was to crawl from John O'Groats to Land's End on broken glass, if he was told at the end of the journey his sins would be taken away, Spurgeon says, I would have done it. He says, if somebody told me that if I gave my back to the whip and that every lash of the whip would remove my sin, he says, I would have done it willingly. And then one day he went into a little Methodist chapel. On a winter's day in January, and one of the deacons stood up and began to preach from Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved. And Spurgeon said, for the first time in my life, I realized all I had to do was look by faith. And I was saved. Speaking about that day, Spurgeon said when he left that chapel, he was so overjoyed that he had met Christ and his sins had been removed, his burden had been taken away. He said, I wanted to go out and tell the very stones in the field that had been sealed. That's what he wanted to do. First thing he wanted to do when he met Christ and had his burden taken away was to tell others. And here's David, and his burden has been taken away. What's the first thing he wants to do? He wants to tell others. Of course, that is consistent with those that we meet with throughout Scripture. You take the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the many who were healed by the Savior, many who met Christ. Upon meeting Christ, their lives were dramatically changed and they couldn't keep the good news to themselves. They had to go out and tell others. The man who was born deaf and had an impediment in his speech was brought to Christ and was healed of his infirmities. And we read in Mark 7, this is what he did. We're told that he published it abroad, saying, he hath done all things well. And it's true. When Jesus Christ saves a soul, he does it well. And this man says he has done all things well. He has done a good job in my life. He has given me my hearing. Now I can speak plainly. He has done all things well. You remember the Lord speaking with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well? And how he led her to see him as the water of life? And then she said to the Lord, give me this water. What was she saying? She was saying, give me Christ. And the change so great and dramatic in her life. This woman who had lived a life of sin, that she returned immediately to the city. And she went and spoke to the men that she knew in the city. Probably the very men that she dealt with. She said to those men, "Come, see a man. It's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Once again, it was the natural thing for her to do, was to go and tell others the good news. And the leper whom Christ cleansed, he couldn't keep the good news to himself either. He wanted to tell others what Christ had done for his soul. And we read in Mark 1, verse 45, he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. He felt compelled. There was a desire in his heart to tell others about Christ. With the desire in David's heart to teach transgressors the ways of God. And oh, believer, is there that desire in our hearts today? David looked out as the Lord commanded the disciples to look out upon the multitude. And he said, "Look, the fields are white, all ready to harvest." He was seeking to stir up his disciples, to show them the great need. Thousands were perishing in their sin. The fields are white already. You know, when you look upon a field of corn, or a field of wheat, when it turns white, it's almost too late. Nearly past the harvest season. And the Savior says the fields are white already. There's not much time left to gather in the harvest. And neither there is, dear Christian, there's not much time. Let's go and teach transgressors the ways of God. Not only do you have his desire, but David felt that it was his duty. Having been pardoned, and having had his sins now blotted out, he felt it was his duty to tell others. Having been rescued from his fall, having been given now, as it were, a new start in his life, isn't that what he had prayed for? Isn't that what he was praying for in the psalm? "Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Give me, Lord, a fresh start." And the Lord was pleased to grant him a new start. And so David felt it was his duty now to go out, make good use of that new start, and teach transgressors about the ways of God. It's interesting. Remember, David was the king of Israel. And when David was given this fresh start, he doesn't say anything in the psalm about, "Well, I will be a better king now." No doubt he was. He didn't say, "I will seek to rule the nation in a better way now." No doubt he did. first thing David said, I must tell others about the ways of God. His first thought was to reach others, if you like, with the gospel. And surely, dear believer, we have a duty to tell others about Christ. If there's not a desire there, there must be a duty there. A duty to go out and tell others about the Savior. You think of it. If we don't tell sinners about Christ, who will? Who's going to tell them? We can say, well, there's the preacher, there's the pastor, there's the missionary, there's the full-time worker, but there's nowhere in Scripture where that duty is, it tells us that that duty is merely binding on full-time workers only. It's the duty of us all. We are His disciples. And the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And God has called me to preach the gospel. I rejoice that it's not only my duty, praise God, it's a desire as well. But if I did not preach the gospel and I didn't tell sinners their need of Jesus Christ, I would be failing in my duty. And God has said in His Word that if I do not preach the gospel and tell sinners their need of Christ, if those sinners go to hell because of my neglect, then God will demand the blood of those souls at my hand. It's our duty. And David knew it was his duty. And I never want a soul that may sit under my ministry ever to be able to say, yea, even in the judgment seat of Christ, point the finger and say, you never told me I needed to be saved. Dear child of God, let us not feel in that duty. Then, David says, I will teach transgressors thy ways. We've come across this word twice before in the psalm, transgressor. There in verse 1, the end of the verse, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse 3, and I acknowledge my transgressions. Now, who's David going to go out and speak to? Transgressors. And so here is David. And when he would go out and speak to transgressors, well, David could speak from experience. David could say to those transgressors, I was a transgressor. I committed great sins before God. Let me tell you how I was delivered. Our brother Chris Killam was a drug addict. Sold out to drugs. undying grace, the Lord saved him. Sadly, his body still suffers as a result of those years of drug addiction. But what is Chris's ministry now? Chris goes into the high schools and he addresses the assembly of the students. And he tells them about the dangers of drugs. And Chris is able to speak from experience. He can tell those young people, I used to be a drug addict. He can tell them how he felt in his drug addiction. He can tell them how he feels now. And how his body's still racked with pain because of his addiction. And he can tell them how he was delivered from his addiction. He can tell them about Jesus Christ. He can speak from experience. David could speak from experience. David could speak to the transgressors and can tell them from his experience the way of the transgressor is hard. He could tell them that. He could tell them the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. He could tell them that. He could tell them that sin would destroy them. He could tell them that sin would bring them great sorrow and woe. He could also tell them that the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Proverbs 13:2. The soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. And how David could speak first hand about that. What did the Lord say to David through Nathan? Because of his sin? He said, the sword shall never depart out of thine house. David would experience the violence of sin. And when he would speak to transgressors, he would speak to them out of experience. And he could tell them about how he received forgiveness, how he was pardoned. He could tell them all about what the Lord had done for him. And dear Christian, we have much to tell. We have a great story to tell. And we can speak from experience. We can tell people their need to be saved. And if that person says to us, are you saved? Well, we can reply, yes, glory to God, I'm saved. I can speak to you from experience. I can tell you about Christ, for I know Him. I can tell you about His love. I can tell you about His grace. I can tell you about His mercy because I've experienced it. I can tell you about the cleansing power of His blood. Because I've experienced it. I can tell you about His kindness. I can tell you about His faithfulness. Because I've experienced these things. I can tell you about His companionship. I can tell you about His friendship. I can tell you about the strength He gives me when I'm weak. I can tell you all these things because I've experienced them. So David said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. I, who am a transgressor, I can speak to others, because I know that the way of the transgressor is hard. So David here expresses his willingness. And then David says in this verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. David says, now I will explain the way to the transgressor. I will teach. I will explain God's way to the transgressors. He wants to teach the way of life. He wants to teach the way of salvation. He wants to teach God's ways to sinners. Here you have his task. David set himself this task. Reaching poor lost souls with the message of salvation. It's a very valuable task. David could not have given himself a greater task. A task of more value than this, than teaching. What value would you put on a soul? To put a very high value on a person's life. All that a man hath, he will give to preserve his life. But what value do you put on a man's soul? The Lord Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so the Lord Jesus here says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In other words, Christ was teaching that a man's soul is worth more than a whole world and all that's in that world. One soul is worth more than the value of a world. But wait. Christ did not only tell us about the value of a soul, he also has shown us. Christ himself has shown us the value of a soul. Because what does it take to redeem one soul? Takes the blood of God to redeem a soul. That's what it cost to redeem this soul of mine. It cost the blood of Emmanuel. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, that then lets us know how valuable our soul is when it took God to become man and to shed his blood for that soul of ours to be saved. there's the value of a soul. And so we're exercising a valuable ministry. We're engaged in a very valuable task when we go out to teach transgressors the ways of God. It shows that hymn that we sang this morning in purpose. Those words that we sang, "Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one the man of sorrows condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. Teach me, Savior, teach me the value of a soul." I love that hymn. Tremendous words. Goes on to speak about, even if I sinned and I alone, still we would need Christ to have gone to the cross to save us. There's the value of a soul. It was his task. It was a very valuable one. And I notice David volunteered for this task. He says, "Then will I teach transgressors." I volunteer. The Lord commissioned his disciples, saying unto them, "Go ye into all the world." He commissioned them, commanded them. David didn't need any such command. David said, "I will go. I will go." The Apostle Paul was chosen to be a missionary, to go out and teach transgressors the ways of God. And the Apostle Paul was sent by the Lord to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He was sent. He was told to go. David says, "Don't need to tell me. I'm going. I volunteer." Dear Christian, let us be volunteers rather than be conscripts. Let us volunteer rather than be coerced or forced. And when the Lord comes and says to us, "Who will go for us? Whom will we send?" Let us respond by saying, "Here am I. Send me. I'll go." The task and the teaching. You'll have noticed that David spoke about teaching transgressors the ways of God. This is an important part of true evangelism. I know the way things are going these days, it's no longer seen as an important part of true evangelism. As long as you can get someone to make a decision, that's all that's needed. Sadly, many souls will end up in hell because that's all they had, was a decision. It's all they have, because they were never taught. The cry is believe, but the sinner is not told what to believe. her to believe. Teach transgressors thy ways. You want perfect example of the ways of an evangelist, the ministry of an evangelist. Look to Jesus Christ. He is the perfect personal worker. See how he spoke with the woman of Samaria. See how graciously he spoke to her. How gently he brought her along, introducing the message of the gospel. She had come to draw water. He took up that theme and said, I am the water of life. Introduced himself to her and she said, give me this water. Want to know how to do some personal work? Look to Christ. Want to know how to preach the gospel? Look to Jesus Christ. How did Christ preach the gospel? Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. He had a teaching ministry. He taught in his preaching. He taught the way of salvation. When it came to repentance, he taught repentance. Once again, even his fiercest enemies acknowledged that Jesus Christ was a teacher of the gospel. For we read in Matthew 22, verse 16, Master, they came to him and said, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Just like David. Or we might say David was just like Christ. I will teach transgressors thy way. The Lord Jesus Christ was the true teacher of the ways of God. And so, believer, we need to teach. So much preaching today is void and empty of sound doctrine. It's all light and fluffy. There's nothing in it. There's no substance to it. Just as long as the people feel good. Just as long as it's a message of easy believism. People friendly. Where's the substance? Where's the meat? Where's the teaching? Where's the doctrine? That's how Christ preached. May God help us to preach as Christ preached. You have the tidings. David informs us that he intended to teach these transgressors the ways of God. I will teach transgressors thy ways. What does the Bible say about God's ways? Hosea 14, verse 9 says, for the ways of the Lord are right. So when David said he would teach transgressors the Lord's way, he was going to teach them the right. Too much today is made off man's way. We need to teach sinners God's way. It's the right way. the right way to salvation, the right way to forgiveness, the right way to peace, the right way to heaven, the right way to escape hell. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the right way. Every other way is the wrong way. That's right. Every other way is the wrong way. Jesus Christ is the way. There's no other way. Doesn't matter what religion a man or a woman has. Doesn't matter what they believe. Doesn't matter what book they read. Doesn't matter what they're told or they're taught. Everything else apart from Jesus Christ is the wrong way. Christ is the way. He alone. Miss Christ and you miss heaven. Miss Christ, you're on the way to hell. Because Christ is the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he was going to teach them the right way. I'll just give you the heading for the last point. David's expectant witness. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David expected a harvest. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. There's David's aim. The conversion of sinners. You have David's answer. The answer to the need of sinners is Jesus Christ, the way. He's the answer. Whatever needs a man has, whatever problems he has, whatever burdens he has, Jesus Christ is the answer. And his assurance. David says, and sinners shall be. I'm assured, I'm confident that if I teach transgressors the ways of God, sinners will be converted. No doubt about it. Farmer goes out and prepares his field and he sows the seed. And he believes with all of his heart. Come August, September, he'll have a harvest. And dear child of God, we have the very best seed. Here it is. It's the good seed of the gospel. And this gospel will bear fruit 100-fold. Sinners will be converted. Let us take up the sowing of this seed. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, bless thee for the good seed of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for the person, yea, the people that sowed the seed, even in our day. The personal worker, the preacher, the one who distributed the tracts. We thank thee, Lord, for those who sowed the seed. We bless thee, Lord, that thou did determine that seed fell on good ground. And we bless thee, Lord, for that day when that seed brought forth fruit, even the salvation of our souls. We rejoice in that day and will rejoice in that day for all eternity. O Lord, bless the word to our hearts now. Bless our service of dedication. May we be conscious of Thy presence. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.